Simple words on a page with pictures beside. This is all I have, this humble book. But oh, what words, what pictures, what a book. I am P.J. Lynch, Laureate Nanoge of Ireland, and you're listening to Night, Night, Northwest.
Hello and welcome to everyone here and to all our listeners at home. You're all very welcome to County Donegal's Central Library in Letterkenny and for the first in a brand new series called Night Night Northwest. Over the course of this series, we'll bring you 9 unique programmes, all based on Irish children's literature. You'll hear stories about giants, sunbeams, a happy prince, and even a little boy called Tom who refuses to wear shoes. We are delighted to be joined today by the pupils from Skull Column Kill, Letterkenny, and by our guest reader, Mr. P.J. Lynch, the Laureate Nanoge of Ireland.
Hello.
What's that?
How are you? Did you walk down from school?
I did, indeed.
Come on in. Do you want to sit in the mat?
Hi, guys.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Hello.
What?
You're reading The Greedy Giant.
The Greedy Giant? No, I'm not reading The Greedy Giant.
The Selfish Giant.
The Selfish Giant.
That was very
giant, close,
yeah. Though. It's definitely about a giant.
Yeah. Has anyone read The Selfish Giant before?
No. Yeah.
Well, some of you have, yeah.
Yep.
Well, you're not to give away the ending, okay? Don't be telling everybody else what happens, all right? It's great to be here, and it's great to be here with you guys, and I'm really looking forward to reading the story with you. Laureate Nanoge's job is to try and get kids interested in books because there's a lot of distractions like TV and computer games and football. Do you guys like to read?
Yeah.
Yeah. Who's your favorite author?
Jeff Kenny.
Diary of a Wimpy Kid. Yeah, they're great. Who's your favorite author?
Roald Dahl.
He's brilliant. Yes. One of my favorite authors is a guy called Owen Colfer. Have you heard of him? He wrote Artemis Fowl. Yeah. And there's lots of other famous Irish writers. Have you heard of the Narnia books, guys?
Yeah.
Those were written by a guy from Belfast, where I come from, a guy called C.S. Lewis, and I love those as well. But we're going to read a story called The Selfish Giant. It was written by Oscar Wilde 110 years ago, thereabouts, or maybe 120 years ago. And about 30 years ago, almost, when I'd just come out of college, someone asked me, what would be your favorite project to do? And I said, I love Oscar Wilde's stories. And they let me illustrate it for this book. And look at the front cover is the Happy Prince by Oscar Wilde. And the very first story inside the book is the one we're going to read now. The Selfish Giant. Okay, are you all set, guys?
Yeah.
All right.
The Selfish Giant by Oscar Wilde. Every afternoon as they were coming from school, the children used to go and play in the giant's garden. It was a large, lovely garden with soft green grass. Here and there over the grass stood beautiful flowers like stars, and there were 12 peach trees that in the springtime broke out into delicate blossoms of pink and pearl, and in the autumn bore rich fruit. The birds sat in the trees and sang so sweetly that the children used to stop their games in order to listen to them. "How happy we are here," they cried to each other. One day, the giant came back. He had been to visit his friend, the Cornish ogre, and had stayed with him for 7 years. After the 7 years were over, he had said all that he had to say, for his conversation was limited, and he determined to return to his own castle. When he arrived, he saw the children playing in the garden. "What are you doing here?" he cried in a very gruff voice, and the children ran away. "My own garden is my own garden," said the giant. "Anyone can understand that, and I will allow nobody to play in it but myself." So he built a high wall all round it and put up a notice board. Trespassers will be prosecuted. He was a very selfish giant. The poor children had now nowhere to play. They tried to play in the road, but the road was very dusty and full of hard stones, and they did not like it. They used to wander round the high wall when their lessons were over and talk about the beautiful garden inside. How happy we were there, they said to each other. Then the spring came, and all over the country there were little blossoms and little birds. Only in the garden of the selfish giant it was still winter. The birds did not care to sing in it, as there were no children, and the trees forgot to blossom. Once a beautiful flower put its head out from the grass, but when it saw the notice board, it was so sorry for the children that it slipped back into the ground again and went off to sleep. The only people who were pleased were the snow and the frost. Spring has forgotten this garden, they cried, so we will live here all the year round. The snow covered up the grass with her great white cloak, and the frost painted all the trees silver. Then they invited the north wind to stay with them, and he came. He was wrapped in furs, and he roared all day about the garden, and he blew chimney pots down. This is a delightful spot, he said. We must ask the hail on a visit. So the hail came. Every day for 3 hours he rattled on the roof of the castle till he broke most of the slates. And then he ran round and round the garden as fast as he could go. He was dressed in grey and his breath was like ice. I cannot understand why the spring is so late in coming, said the selfish giant, as he sat at the window and looked out on his cold, white garden. I hope there will be a change in the weather. But the spring never came, nor the summer. The autumn gave golden fruit to every garden, but to the giant's garden, she gave none. He's too selfish, she said. So it was always winter there, and the north wind and the hail and the frost and the snow danced about through the trees. One morning, the giant was lying awake in his bed when he heard some lovely music. It sounded so sweet to his ears that he thought it must be the king's musicians passing by. It was really only a little linnet singing outside his window. But it was so long since he had heard a bird sing in his garden that it seemed to him to be the most beautiful music in the world.
What do you think of it so far?
Good.
It's good. What do you think of that giant? He is angry, and he's
selfish
and mean.
Angry.
Yeah, and he doesn't like kids. Yeah, someone's got their hand up.
You see on the notice board, what it said, trespassers will be prosecuted.
Yeah, trespassers will be prosecuted. That means that trespassers will be arrested and brought to jail and punished. Guys, shall we look at some of my pictures?
Yeah.
Because just as I was reading it, I was thinking about all these pictures that are in the book. Can you see them? There's the giant, and that's the scene where he's being really angry with the poor old kids, and the kids are running off.
It looks like an Irish giant.
And look, there's just a little picture at the start, and that shows some of the beautiful flowers, and they're coming through a giant shoe that he's left there. There's the north wind. He's all wrapped in furs, and he's blowing really cold, and snow is there, and hail, and frost, and the poor old giant's inside his castle, and the slates have been broken, and it looks pretty cold there, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I think he feels disappointed. Once the wind and stuff came in, he had no spring.
Yeah, he is disappointed. Do you think he's put two and two together? Do you think he understands why his garden is so cold and miserable?
No.
He doesn't, but he does love nice things, doesn't he? What makes me say that? Why does he love nice things?
Like the birds making music.
Yeah. And what else does he like that's beautiful?
All of the flowers and all the beautiful stuff.
Yes.
In his
so
garden.
I would say there's hope for him because he loves beautiful things like music and birds and flowers. Now let's see what happens to him next, shall we?
Then the hail stopped dancing over his head, and the north wind ceased roaring, and a delicious perfume came to him through the open casement. "I believe the spring has come at last," said the giant, and he jumped out of bed and looked out. What did he see? He saw a most wonderful sight. Through a little hole in the wall, the children had crept in and they were sitting in the branches of the trees. In every tree that he could see, there was a little child. And the trees were so glad to have the children back again that they had covered themselves with blossoms and were waving their arms gently above the children's heads. The birds were flying about and twittering with delight, and the flowers were looking up through the green grass and laughing. It was a lovely scene. Only in one corner, it was still winter. It was the farthest corner of the garden, and in it was standing a little boy. He was so small that he could not reach up to the branches of the tree, and he was wandering all around it, crying bitterly. The poor tree was still quite covered with frost and snow, and the north wind was blowing and roaring above it. "Climb up, little boy," said the tree, and it bent its branches down as low as it could. But the boy was too tiny. And the giant's heart melted as he looked out. "How selfish I have been," he said. "Now I know why the spring would not come here. I will put that poor little boy on top of the tree, and then I will knock down the wall, and my garden shall be the children's playground forever and ever." He was really very sorry for what he had done. So he crept downstairs and opened the front door quite softly and went out into the garden. But when the children saw him, they were so frightened that they all ran away and the garden became winter again. Only the little boy did not run, for his eyes were so full of tears that he did not see the giant coming. And the giant stole up behind him and took him gently in his hand and put him up into the tree. And the tree broke out at once into blossom, and the birds came and sang on it, and the little boy stretched out his two arms and flung them round the giant's neck and kissed him. And the other children, when they saw that the giant was not wicked any longer, came running back, and with them came the spring. "It is your garden now, little children," said the giant, and he took a great axe and he knocked down the wall. And when the people were going to market at 12 o'clock, they found the giant playing with the children in the most beautiful garden they had ever seen. All day long they played, and in the evening they came to the giant to bid him goodbye. "But where is your little companion?" he said. "The boy I put into the tree?" The giant loved him best because he had kissed him. "We don't know," answered the children. "He has gone away." "You must tell him to be sure to come here tomorrow," said the giant. But the children said that they did not know where he lived and had never seen him before. And the giant felt very sad.
Wow, another break, guys. Let's look at the pictures. Yeah, let's see. Let's see. It's an amazing story. I love this story so much. Look, there's the scene where the giant is... he's nice again, and he's realised that children are lovely and he should let them play in the garden. And look, they're playing all over him. And why did somebody say that he might be an Irish giant?
Because
why did you say that?
He looks
a bit Irish. He's got red hair.
He looks like Scotland.
Yeah. Does he look like me?
No.
No? Okay. Because when I'm illustrating, I'm always looking in the mirror to see, and I'd be doing expressions. If I'm trying to make somebody look fierce, I'd do a fierce expression in the mirror and then I'd draw myself.
Noah, do you have a question?
Yes?
Yeah.
I have heard this story twice at my house because my mom always reads it to my sister.
Great. Do you like it?
My mom is there. Yes.
Noah, is it one of your favourite stories?
Yes.
Yeah, it's mine too as well. Yeah, I love it. And does your sister like it?
Yeah, she loves it so much.
Okay. Jack, have you got a question?
He looks a bit like a leprechaun.
Yeah, but he's a very, very big leprechaun, yeah? Yeah. So he's a giant. Who else has got a question?
Is your name Jan?
Yeah.
Hi, Jan.
Jan has a question.
The picture looked kind of real.
Kind of real?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I try to make my pictures look as real as possible. But it's there's no such thing as giants that would be as big as that.
Does anyone believe in giants?
No!
I believe in one. I believe in one.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Do you see? Down in Cooley, my nanny lives there. We go up this mountain, and you see, when we go up the mountain, we're walking on a giant, because it's Finn McCool, because he lay down on a big mountain for a big nap, and he never woke up. And so do you see the soil and the grass? It went over him and he became the part of the mountain.
Yeah, that's another great story. Listen, guys, maybe there are people who are very, very, very tall. Like the tallest man in the world is probably about 8 foot tall, which is very, very big. You guys are probably 3 or 4 foot tall. So, but maybe at some time that we don't know about, maybe there were giants who were really, really big. Yes, Jack?
Twice the size of Goliath.
Twice the size of Goliath, yeah. Has anyone been to the Giant's Causeway?
No.
Yes.
Yeah, that's another great giant story that I love, and it's not too far from here. Sean, have you got a question?
And also, maybe giants might have not been as tall as Mount Everest because it's one of the biggest mountains.
It is very big. I don't know if the giants would have been as big as that, but maybe they were big. We just don't know. Yeah, what's your question, Owen?
Do you see Sean just talked about the Mount Everest? Do you see one time I went down to the Ora and I met one of the men that climbed Mount Everest to the top of Mount Everest.
Wow, that's a great achievement to get to the top of Everest, isn't it?
Earlier.
Me and Lachlan, well, we went to the Giant's Causeway once, and well, when we were walking on it, we saw the boot on lying on the causeway.
The stone boot. It looks like a boot.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Giant's Causeway is great, and some people believe that the Giant's Causeway was put there by a Scottish giant who was trying to get over. And did Finn McCool build the Irish side? Is that right?
Yeah.
Ah, yeah. Yeah. And some people believe that it might have been lava coming out of a volcano many, many years ago. But who knows? Who knows? You've got a question, Jamie.
Why is there more of the same book in there?
That's what libraries are for. There's lots of copies of the same books so that you guys can go to libraries and you can borrow them. All right, you ready, guys?
Yes.
Okay.
Every afternoon when school was over, the children came and played with the giant, but the little boy whom the giant loved was never seen again. The giant was very kind to all the children, yet he longed for his first little friend and often spoke of him. "How I would love to see him," he used to say. Years went over and the giant grew very old and feeble. He could not play about anymore, so he sat in a huge armchair and watched the children at their games and admired his garden. "I have many beautiful flowers," he said, "but the children are the most beautiful flowers of all." One winter morning, he looked out of his window as he was dressing. He did not hate the winter now, for he knew that it was merely the spring asleep and that the flowers were resting. Suddenly, he rubbed his eyes in wonder and looked and looked. It certainly was a marvelous sight. In the farthest corner of the garden was a tree quite covered with lovely white blossoms. Its branches were all golden, and silver fruit hung down from them. And underneath it stood the little boy he had loved. Downstairs ran the giant in great joy and out into the garden. He hastened across the grass and came near to the child. And when he came quite close, his face grew red with anger. And he said, "Who hath dared to wound thee?" For on the palms of the child's hands were the prints of two nails. And the prints of two nails were on the little feet. "Who hath dared to wound thee? Tell me that I may take my big sword and slay him." "Nay," answered the child, "but these are the wounds of love." "Who art thou?" said the giant. And a strange awe fell on him, and he knelt before the little child. And the child smiled on the giant and said to him, "You let me play once, in your garden, today you shall come with me to my garden, which is paradise. And when the children ran in that afternoon, they found the giant lying dead under the tree, all covered with white blossoms.
The end. What did you think of that, guys?
Oh, it was good, wasn't it?
So what happened at the end? Who was the little boy with the prints of nails in his hands? Jimmy, you had your hand up.
It's the boy who gave him a kiss. But it's a really sad ending because the giant dies, but with beautiful flowers on him.
I know, but he was very old when he died, so it's not quite so sad. Yeah.
What did you think of it? Was it a good one?
Yeah.
Yeah. And this, and it's called The Selfish Giant, but he really wasn't selfish in the end, was he?
No.
He should, yeah, it should be called The Nice Giant.
Nice Giant.
Yeah.
Nice
giant, giant,
and the bad giant.
So maybe you guys could borrow that one and read it yourself sometime. Oh. Yeah. Listen, what are we going to do for Mr. Oscar Wilde? Will we give him a big round of applause?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for being so good, guys.
I'm all about encouraging children to read, and there's nothing better than parents or someone reading to children. Kids enjoy the stories in much different ways if they're listening to a storyteller. A good storyteller can bring out things from the stories that the children may never have noticed in there. And it gets kids passionate about stories, and hopefully it gets the kids interested in wanting to dig out the books and have a good read themselves. And I'd say there'll be hundreds of children right across the Northwest who'll be visiting their libraries and their bookstores. I love to see children, as the group that we had today, really enthusiastic about books. They all go to their library a lot, and when we asked them about their favourite authors, there were loads and loads of different names were mentioned. So they're reading a wide range of titles.
I definitely know you inspired the children you met along this journey. You most certainly did. A load of children said they were going to go to the library straight away and get out your books and read them and look at the pictures. So how does that make you feel? That's sort of nice, isn't it?
That's great. It's so nice to connect with the children and to show them the pictures. Some of these pictures I did many years ago, like the ones for the Oscar Wilde books. And to have them looking at it for their first time, and to pour through the pictures and see little details that I put in there. And that's what I was doing when I made those pictures. I wanted children to have that reaction. And here we are 25 or 30 years later, and it's still happening. It's thrilling for me. Simple words on a page with pictures beside. This is all I have, this humble book. But oh, what words, what pictures, what a book.
That's it from this episode of the series. I'd like to thank the children from Skull Column Kill, Letterkenny, and a very special thanks to PJ Lynch for coming here today to read for us. Please join us next week when we'll be broadcasting from the Bundoran Community Library, and in our audience will be the children from St. McCartan's National School. So until next week...
The Selfish Giant by Oscar Wilde, illustrations by PJ Lynch, was first published in 1986 by Macmillan Publishing Company. Night Night Northwest was produced, directed, and presented by Alison Toomey, and is a Real Films production which was funded by the Donegal County Council Library Service and the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland, with the television licence fee.